Welcome to the Haunted Hangover Podcast. I'm Louie, and I'm joined by a gentleman I've been wanting to have on the show for a while. We've been talking back and forth. I keep saying I'm going to have you on, and then I don't know why it's taking so long. My boy, Johnny from Louvers. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Really great to be here.
I think I asked you maybe, what, like 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, just like... It's both stuff on my end, stuff on your end, just didn't line up. But I'm glad we finally got it together.
I know we've hung out a couple of times at this point. We've chilled, hung out, but you just haven't been on the podcast, It doesn't make any sense. Having good times, but not recording or doing anything to show to the world. We're here, and we're doing it.
Yeah.
Now, glasses are off. Wait a second.
Yeah,
now
I'm gonna switch into. Podcast mode, you know?
Professional mode.
Yeah. I want to get serious about it.
Oh, man. Serious. Yeah. No fun here. It's just serious business.
Fun is over as soon as the glasses come off.
As soon as the Ray-Bans come off, it's serious business time. Who needs sunglasses? Yeah. Sunglasses at night, man.
Always indoors.
Only the coolest of dudes wear the sunglasses. Yeah. Only the coolest of dudes can pull that look off. I, for one, am not one of them. So,
you just gotta go for it. You know
exactly. Now, if you're watching this episode, Johnny, see the keyboards back there.
Oh yeah.
See some mic stands.
Oh.
see some stuff back there. Also, see another pair of sunglasses. Speaking of sunglasses, you've got one up, up there behind you. There you go.
A lot of different color pairs of sunglasses around, just depending on how I'm feeling.
Yeah, so I see all of this. Obviously, my man creates music of some kind. So maybe for the listeners, can you break down what exactly is Louvers?
Yeah. Well, Louvers is a project that, you know, I had the idea for the name Louvers for a while as I was in other bands. And I've always had like a nostalgic thing. Like even when I was in like more like traditional rock bands, like bar kind of bands, I always had like a soft spot for like mostly new wave stuff. Like The Cure, New Order was always like, even if the band didn't sound like that at all, you could hear it in my guitars a little bit and stuff like that. So after I stopped playing with those bands, like big hiatus, I was like, I really need to just start. I had all these ideas. I just really want to start doing my thing. So I started learning digital music as a necessity. And I kind of just instinctively went more into the retro thing, you know, and I was really attracted to like background music for movies, you know, like
the scores and stuff like that.
Like scores for movies. Yeah. So I tried to incorporate that into what I was doing. And for better or worse, like, no matter what I do, I just always kind of sound like me. So like, even if I try to go real traditional in like a synth wave or a kind of thing, like it just doesn't get there ever, which is good though, because, you know, I'm not a cliche sound, I think, but also for people that are looking for like traditional, if you even want to say like synth wave, that's also not present when they look at my music. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
They're thrown off by the scent when they see all the pictures and stuff like that you post up. And like,
And they're like,
just the overall kind of tone you set for the
project.
They're
like, this sounds like The Cars. What the hell? You know?
But wait a second.
Wait a minute. So Louvers started out as a music project, you know, and I hate everybody. This is everybody's thing. And it's like, I got really into it over COVID because then I had the time to teach myself all the digital stuff, but that's what happened. And then when I got on Instagram, I realized there was a lot of crossover, and I got more and more into the aesthetic and the persona and the collection. And then the collecting stuff was a slippery slope. Like I already had stuff like from when I was a kid, but as I posted more of that, people connected with that. So I kind of just followed that path, and I got really into it, you know. And then I met people that are in. It's like nostalgia is this tremendous umbrella that I didn't realize existed. And once I dipped my foot in the pool of like the retro music scene and like I became friends with all those people, then the VHS people embraced me when I started posting that. And then like the Halloween stuff, like I met you guys, like all of the horror stuff, and it just goes off in all these directions. But there is sort of this like umbrella community of nostalgia that's amazing.
Yeah, It's interesting. You know, it always comes up, you know, when Grimey's on with me, or we have other, you know, guests like you on the show that are kind of in that world. It's weird. There's like almost like a pyramid. Yeah. I always say, you know, it's a situation where it's like, you've got the sort of nostalgia people that it's really just about collecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you've got the, you know, like what you're doing, kind of where it's like nostalgia collecting, but there's also sort of like a project combined.
I love explaining these to people.
It's kind of tricky, you know.
Then I love like telling, and then I go crazy, and I become like the guy with the map and the strings, and they're like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Even me right now, I'm articulating.
I love it. I love it. Keep going.
But yeah, like it's like there's like you, where you've got like the music project with the collecting and the photography and the pictures and the vibe you're trying to give off. Because with your stuff. Not with the music, and we're going to get back to the music in a second, but with your stuff, it's very much like you, Johnny, and sort of this scene you put together in certain, with your post, you know, with your TVs, the movies, what you're watching, what you're, you know, this, that, and the third. And obviously, a lot of the times you add your own music to the post.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, not only are you creating this music, but you're also creating these posts that feature nostalgic items, whether it's a cassette, a VHS, a Nintendo, an old tube TV, whatever, you know, and you kind of add, you're kind of putting that all together in that way. And then kind of, you know, continuing that pyramid, there's, you know, the Halloween nostalgia community, which is kind of, where I guess Haunted Hangover, you know, the stuff I do kind of falls into that territory where it's all old shit, Halloween. And then kind of horror is like, it's weird because then the horror is like a little arrow pointing off to the side because horror, there's people that love Halloween and just don't watch horror movies, you know, which I always find interesting.
I can get it a little bit, but and then, you know, there's a, and then you guys I respect where I instinctively think Halloween, but you guys are horror all the time. Which is beautiful.
Which is a combination, you know. Again,
I mean, combined. Obviously, you respect the hell out of Halloween. How can you not? But
and in my mind, you know, being a being a kid of, you know, whatever, late 80s, 90s, you know, growing up, it's like horror and Halloween always went hand in hand, and that's kind of what triggered. And a lot of people that come across Haunted Hangover and have found us, it's usually because of the nostalgic Halloween stuff. I'm not even gonna front. Yeah. That's usually what it is. That's what people kind of look to us for and just kind of to talk about.
I mean,
about
it helps. Like there should be, if there was like a synthwave day, you know, I would be on it. You know, like, this is our month, you know?
Yeah. It's tough. And speaking of synthwave, now my question to you is, so you said you started out in other bands. What kind of bands were those? You said they were just kind of like,
so
rock
my
bands,
my
metal
main,
bands. What were they?
It wasn't a metal band. And what's interesting about the genre umbrella of synthwave is people enter from all different entrances, and like they're all the guys who you could tell were ex-metal guys, and then that brand of it or flavor of it is awesome. I came from like a singer-songwriter background. I started open microphones, and then I guess like nobody likes to put themselves in a category, but you would call my band like a indie folk band.
Okay.
You know? We sound
so
kind of like
you went like another direction with your other music.
I guess,
man,
but you could like still hear like there was other synthwave musicians where like I love to pick like Where Did You Come From game, and if somebody was a singer songwriter, I could tell in how they write their synthwave songs.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell in the structure. And like I've messaged people like, you didn't start out as an acoustic player, did you? And they're like, how did you know? And it's like I could, because like that's where I grew up. I grew up in an open mic scene, and it was really good for me as a songwriter at the time. But I loved it. I loved the open mic. Yeah, and then I got into bands, indie rock bands and stuff like that, with a little of that post-punk influence that I always had. And then, I did that for a long time and kind of fell off when everybody had their life come up, you know, and kids and wives and stuff. And and then, like, I just wanted to keep moving. And you know what? Honestly, I was in a funk, like, we had been together for a long time, the band, and, like, we did some stuff. We had, like, we had a little bit of radio play. We had a song or two, and we went on tour here and there. We went up to Canada. We went down south once, and I just wanted to keep going, but I was in this stale place. Like, I haven't written a song for, like, a year or two, and I was, like, really down on myself. And this project, like, opened that up because it's kind of like I'm trying not to be self-conscious anymore. When
you can't be, man. You can't
be. When we were, like, I was, like, in my 20s and, like, every move, it's like there's always somebody who wants to like bring in the poopy parade. Like you have an idea. Maybe
always,
that was that was me at some point. Like, oh, should we coordinate our outfits for the show or talk about that? And people would be like, no, that's lame. It's like, maybe it is lame, but also as an audience member, it's lame to have that conversation. But as an audience member, to go see a band and you could tell they're putting on a show and it's not just a bunch of dudes who just rolled out of bed, it brings it up a notch. So
yeah,
for better,
it's interesting. Yeah, I have other friends of mine that are also like in bands and stuff like that, and some of them, you know, I have another buddy of mine, probably have him on in the future on the podcast, and he comes from like the horror punk world.
Yeah,
and he says
that's
the same
super
thing.
Theatrical.
Yeah,
and
he said the same thing.
It feels so awkward behind the scenes when the lights go out and it's just you and the guys or whatever, or girls, and you're sitting there and you look ridiculous. You feel stupid. But on stage, it's like, look at this. It blows people's minds.
Yeah.
So with this project, for better or worse, I always, if I had an idea, I was like, yes, I'm going to do it. Sunglasses, the leather jackets, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. Like, no self-consciousness this time. Like, I'm recording songs and, like, I have a super cliche or over-the-top idea. In the past, I would be like, that's stupid. No, but those are the songs people like. When the guitar solo just sounds, like, wild and... No, people love that stuff. You know, they want they want you to be over the top, you know?
Listen, man, you got to be authentic. That's kind of, you know, if you feel, listen, some bands, they're cool with rolling out of bed in the sweatpants and going on stage.
And it fits
playing
the vibe. And we did it for years, you know?
Yeah, there you go. And then some people want to put on, you know, assless chaps and like
I haven't gotten like there yet, but, you know.
Like a fishnet shirt. And
that's
they want
when
to
I
play.
Need somebody, yeah.
That's it. There
check
you go.
Me.
Make sure Johnny's okay.
Yeah,
you're
right, what is
dude?
He doing?
Why is he wearing assless chaps on stage behind your keyboard?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Like the behind the music documentary. That's when it all goes to shit. You know,
you're on your in your assless chaps phase.
I hope.
I listen, man. That's when you'll really make it big. When you don't. That's when you don't give a shit. When you're wearing
if
the
you
assless
make
chaps
money
on
and
stage.
You're wearing those. You're there.
But to talk a little bit about synthwave, because I feel so okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're talking synthwave. No, I'm just saying. I'm bringing it all together.
Okay.
So Dave makes music. Dave.
Yeah.
Haunted Hangover guy with me here.
And I love your theme song. He did right.
Yeah. He composed the theme song, Dave. Just like you, composes music. Dave obviously doesn't sing, and it's more kind of just the music he's creating, the atmosphere. And Dave never labels himself as synthwave.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not synthwave. That's not the vibe.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
going
I never
for.
Labeled myself as indie rock when I was actively playing. But if I want to explain to you what our band sounded like,
indie
I kind of got to say it. You know,
yeah. And like you said, it's a blanket term, just kind of like synthwave, because that's what most people know. And synthwave, you know, and I want to know your relationship with it.
Okay.
I remember when it was first, like 2013, 2012, 2013 was when it was, which is crazy. Now it's been over 10 years. It was sort of on the come up. All these artists from like France and different countries, and even some in the U.S., California, big West Coast scene, I feel, when it first started out and kind of middle of nowhere, you know, areas. When it was a new thing and people were really excited about it and it was like really cool. Whereas now there's a lot of it. Now, did you start listening to that music at all when it first started like popping off and people were listening to it? Or was that just something that you knew about and you were just like, oh, I'm going to try to do that, but add my own flavor?
I think I got into synthwave proper like later.
Okay.
But I always was aware of this thing. I just didn't realize how big it was. Because it's only kind of mainstream now where like Stranger Things and dude, like every soundtrack, like Terrifier. One of my friends is might play on the new Terrifier album. And like, it's awesome because like people are seeking this music. So that's what it is. Like it's background music. So a lot of people, there's two good things about synthwave. And I'm going to get into how did I get into it? The two good things is... It's a music that everybody digs when they hear it, but few people are going to sit down and actually listen to.
Yeah.
So sure. I like that because it keeps it underground, right under the surface. Every movie has synthwave, but not many of my friends who actively appreciate it, like normies, are going to sit down and listen to a synthwave album. But when you throw it on, everybody goes, oh, man, this is awesome. What is this? Mm-hmm. So it's a very certain flavor that suits our retro community, because we all look for that thing that is right under the surface, that it's a little more acquired, like a shitty horror movie. It's a little more acquired. You're watching it for different things. You're not watching it for purely, I'm going to watch this movie, you know? So I got into it because, honestly, I was like, in around probably that time period, 2013 or something like that, I was riding my bike a lot. I was trying to get into shape. And I was listening to the Top Gun soundtrack a lot as an exercise soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack.
Dude, straight through. Not even Danger Zone. But if you're like running or like biking and you're sweating and like Take My Breath Away comes on, you feel like you're in a movie, man.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of music that I love. Like the background music for those movies. Not even background, but you know what I mean? Like Take My Breath Away is a very like theatrical, written for a movie kind of epic song.
Yeah.
And then like Bloodsport, the soundtrack I would listen to, that's more of a proper like synthwave anthem kind of. If you listen to that, you could think it was made now. And then, hate to say it, Spotify starts suggesting things. Mm-hmm. And they suggested a playlist called Synthwave Sunglasses, and it was just Cobra, the movie, but like pink.
Yeah.
But it was the movie poster. And I didn't know what that was. I was like, what the hell is this? And I turned it on, and it was awesome. It was synthwave. That was 2013, I guess, 14, whatever it was. That's my first exposure to that playlist on Spotify by listening to these movie soundtracks. And I got into it, and I always thought like it would be funny to make a synthwave song. You know, and I think that's how a lot of people get into it, as a goof.
Yeah.
It would be funny to make a synthwave song.
Or like an 80s inspired kind of.
Yeah, and
track.
I always liked the 80s. And then like Kavinsky came out with Drive, and we loved those songs and stuff. And that's like a lot of people's entrance into it. Where I really connected and I thought like it wasn't a joke anymore, and it was The Midnight. When The Midnight came out, that guy's a singer-songwriter. You listen to Kavinsky, and you could tell that he's awesome. He's a composer. Mm-hmm. You listen to the Midnight, and that guy's a singer songwriter. It sounds like something that an acoustic player would be playing at an open mic, and that's, for me, that's beautiful because that's my background. And that's really where I took it a little more seriously. Mm-hmm. And I always had this idea of the name Louvers in my head. It sounded tough, and for me, what that means is the old muscle cars where they had those slats on the back window.
Yeah, I know what you're
about. That's what it refers to.
Like a Trans Am?
And that imagery from being a child of seeing like a Trans Am or a Camaro with that on the back just feels like I could smell the inside of those cars.
Yeah.
And it just feels so in that time period that's what I named the band after. And the first track was, I was messing around and I was like, I'm teaching myself how to do digital music over COVID, and you know, the COVID song is Quarantine Dream. And I, you know, dude, there's like 40.
That's a great title, Quarantine Dream.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the only guy that had that idea at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
No, of course.
But that's where it came from. And I did that track. And then I started the Instagram to promote that track. And started to connect with the wider retro community. And that's kind of where it started, man. And I, after like the self-consciousness of revealing the persona and the project to like people I actually knew. Mm-hmm. I had this idea, because I was locked in the house anyway, that I looked at my old band Instagram, and I love that band, dude. We released albums and did all this cool stuff, but we have 100 followers or 200 followers. It's all people on the scene, your friends and your family. And I was like, what if I just only make Louvers an internet thing and get all these other people on the internet involved? So when I take this project back to the physical scene and start playing live, and I meet all of my old friends after COVID, they'll look me up and be like, how the hell did this happen? Every other band on the scene has like 500 followers, and it's just everybody we know. And this dude has like a few thousand followers. There's all these people over the world. And that's kind of where I'm at now. That was the plan with the project. And obviously, like, you know, we were talking about, I started in music, but I went into all these other areas. And that has sustained it because I really am happy and enjoy the retro scene in general now, almost more than the music stuff at some points. You know?
Yeah, it's frustrating, I'm sure, just because, you know, it's a lot of work to kind of put together and to release an album. You've released, what, 3 full-length albums?
I have.
Yeah.
I have... like two EPs and 3 Halloween albums. Yeah. So I got to make a regular album again or just become a Halloween band at this point.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say.
It's weird, too. And with Synthwave, you know, I always say there's different, I guess, taste when it comes to different flavors of Synthwave. So I appreciate the scene. And it's come up. Dave and I have had the conversation at least 2 times. Whenever we cover our whenever we put together our Halloween mixtape every year, which we've done, I think 4 of them or 5 of them at this point. Like for me personally, my taste has always been more towards like the Perturbator, Survive.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of darker. And a lot of those guys come from like black metal bands and things like that. And it's more analog and more, I guess they all basically took like John Carpenter's, like the blueprint of John Carpenter and then sort of expanded on it. Personally speaking, when like saxophones and shit start getting introduced, that's not really my thing.
I love it.
Exactly. And I respect that. But I'm saying, like, for me, it's never been. And don't get me wrong. I love the guy in The Lost Boys.
That's what I was going to say. No, that's not Lost Boys in me, though. Yeah.
Listen, I love Tim Capello. Everyone loves I Still Believe. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I think when I feel like that's obviously authentic. Like, that was 85 or whatever, 86. So I feel like when some bands take that and it's like a digital sounding saxophone, that kind of throws me off. Or I was like, that's a keyboard. Like, yeah. I know that's a thing too. I tend to lean more towards like the minimalist kind of darker analog kind of horror sound. But that's just me because I'm a guy that's into like black metal and death metal. And I listen to stuff like that too. And I tend to veer more in that territory with music I like, you know, and a lot like Perturbator, that guy has a black metal background.
And that's why
you can tell that's kind of where, like, he was probably in a black metal band and he was like, all right, now I'm going to add that dark element to this, whatever, electronic music, you know?
And that's why I love, like I was saying, I like Carpenter Brute.
Oh yeah. Carpenter Brute's great.
Leather Teeth, man. That song. Yeah. I love when I could tell like a dude comes from a metal background because it's such a different flavor of synth. But like, it's horror, it's dark, and then like sometimes like it goes into like, I love when it's like really dark like that, and then all of a sudden this hair metal solo comes out of nowhere. But that's the thing. It's like a lot of people get weird about this, and you get those Wikipedia warriors who have read all about it and think they know all the ins and outs of genre. And that's every genre, like punk rock, whatever, I guess. But for me personally, synthwave is just this huge umbrella that encapsulates all of these things, and all it means is this sound that's digital and homage to a certain time period but also modern, and we all fall into that category. Now, are there people that are like synthwave purists that are like, I'm the real synth? Of course.
Dude,
it's wild. This is why, honestly, like a little aside, the VHS community is one of the most accepting and cool communities that I've come in contact with. And the synthwave community is so like snobby and stuck up.
And you know what's interesting about you saying that? I've actually heard that the VHS community could be a little snobby depending, like, people selling tapes for like, you haven't.
Oh, no, well,
it,
graded tapes you don't talk about. No,
yeah.
We don't grade tapes.
I've heard, like, you know, people, I think Dave's mentioned it because, you know, Dave, I'm a casual VHS. I do have a decent VHS collection. I do collect them. But Dave will drop like big money on tapes. And he's complained.
I think
recently we talked about kind of people kind of price gouging items and stuff like that. But
I mean,
I feel like the community as a whole is very friendly and everyone talks to each other.
They're,
you know,
supportive. And like, I would never post a tape and then somebody goes like, oh, well, that's actually the Fox Favorites edition, not the classic. That happens in synthwave.
It's pretentious.
You know, like,
like
somebody will be like, I could tell you use the preset. Shut the hell up, man. Like, who cares? Or whatever it is. Like, there's a lot of clickiness in that community. And well, don't get me wrong. Like, I've been embraced and it's cool. But I think also I have this sore spot because of like, what I described. You hear my music and it doesn't match the vibe all the time, like the aesthetic.
Yeah.
But I mean, and people don't like that. And I'm trying to get away from that. But
have you dealt with hate? Have people like blatantly
not
just
with
been
that
like,
as much? Okay. But like, I think I definitely people want to like it. But I feel like I would have a lot more reach if I sounded like you thought I was going to sound when you click play. I need to sound more synth wavy, and I don't.
You're trying to write songs, not
And I'm torn because I love the composer stuff. Like, I really want to, like, should I sing? Should I not sing? A lot of my Halloween albums are more synthwave because I feel more comfortable to just write background music to these imaginary scenarios I have. Yeah, but the synthwave thing, it's an umbrella. And then you could, like, there are these subgenres. I would say I'm more like a retro wave, I would call myself.
Yeah.
Under the umbrella, which is like, I'm trying to be a throwback.
Yeah.
I'm like a band that would have been in the 80s. And people don't realize what that means because they think the 80s sounded like Stranger Things, which it did. If you watch like Explorers or whatever and you listen to the music in the back, that's the 80s sounded like. So I don't like people that are like, oh, it didn't sound like that. It did, but it also sounded like Guns N' Roses and The Replacements and The Cure.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
like, I'm a big post-punk, like, old goth. Like, I love Sisters of Mercy and, you know, Bauhaus, all the kind of, like, Fields of Nephilim and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I get where you're coming from. There's different flavors. Dude, people say that, but then you watch a movie like E.T. There's no synth score in E.T. There's barely any real music in E.T.
Well, that's like, the other brand of the 80s is, like, where they were doing, like, you know, like the Indiana Jones stuff, like scoring. And I think what I like about something like Halloween, you know, or Bloodsport is if those dudes had the choice, they wouldn't have made the music that way. They did it because they were broke.
Yeah.
So they were trying to make scores on a keyboard because that's all they had. But now we have this beautiful product that people are nostalgic for, and it's a sound. So I appreciate where the synth music came from because of that, because it was like this broke option. It's like the guy playing with a broken amplifier, and then like 50 years later, we have distortion, you know?
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's you. Can basically control and create what you want. It's just you. You don't really have anyone to sort of deal
with.
But
I'm not one of these purists about the history of synth and this and that. Honestly,
dude,
like, even with my posts, like, you know where I've gotten the most hate is on Reddit. I stopped posting on Reddit because I'd literally.
Reddit's a cesspool, man. Dude, it's horrible.
I'd post my collection and there would always be a dude coming out of the woodwork going, like, I almost vibed with this, but I just realized that Bag of Chips is a reissue and not an original, so nice try. Like, what? This isn't a museum. It's my house. Like, these are just things I like. So I had that people respond to things like that, like, not period specific because that movie came out in the 90s and not the, like, shut up.
every niche. I'm sure the Halloween scene is the same way.
That actually is a Christmas thing and it came out on this, it, you know, whatever.
I'm sure the you know, listen, horror scene, Halloween scene, metal scene, synth scene.
There's always snobs.
You've always got your like really pretentious, over the top, every nook and cranny detail. Like, oh, you're not synth enough because of this.
You're not
Halloween enough because you don't, do this. Yo, listen, man, in reality, you know, everything is oversaturated.
Yeah. Well, that's
in
the thing
reality,
I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything.
And we talked about this. The problem with synthwave is that it's easy, it's cheap, it's saturated. And there's a lot of subpar music out there. And this is my issue. I don't care if, like, going to open mic, like where I grew up in, a guy comes to open mic, really trying, everybody claps, everybody's supportive. You get off stage. Nice, you know, set, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't mind people making music that's not, you know, hitting or whatever. Like, if they're really trying, what I don't like and what gets me sometimes, you could tell artists get into this genre because they think it's easy and they think it's what's happening. And they're just doing it because they think it's going to propel them somewhere. And then they get mad when it doesn't. And then those are the ones I feel like lash out at the scene going like, people aren't synthwave enough for, you know, I'm done with this scene. Synthwave is dead. Like, you never hear a 50-year-old dude in a pop punk band playing at the bar saying punk rock is dead. You know who you hear saying that? The guy who got into punk rock because he thought like he was going to get famous or get girls or something. you know?
Yeah. Listen, man, I feel like you just have to do what you enjoy and what what you think is the right fit for you in any medium. You know, it could be music, it could be podcasting, content creation, filmmaking, it can be anything. An artist, if you draw, you got to kind of do what is good for you and what you enjoy doing, because then it doesn't become
fun.
And
that's what, like, the music.
And that's cliche too. Yeah. That's cliche but it's true.
With the music and the collecting, I collect reissues, I collect old school stuff. I make music that sounds more synthy. I make music that sounds more like pop punk or like indie rock. And I'm just going to follow what makes me happy, even though it's always going to be in the vein. It's always going to be in nostalgia. It's always going to be in synth. If I want to write a song, I'm going to write it. If I want to have the brand new thing that Target just issued that's Back to the Future brand, I'm going to buy it and put it on Instagram.
At the end of the day, who gives a shit? It's what you enjoy and what you like. And at the end of the day, it's your own world you're sort of creating. Yeah. And you're sharing it, and it's like either you're along for the ride
and
you're not.
Connect with it. You know, the people that connect with it, like, are going to connect with it. And that's kind of how you weed out who your supportive niche is too, you know?
No, for sure. Definitely.
And people have been great. You know, like, I don't know.
That's awesome.
The Instagram nostalgia community is amazing.
So you mentioned that you released 3 Halloween albums.
Yeah.
Right? Now, can you rattle off all 3 names?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. All 3.
So Teenage Vampire Motorcycle Club is the first one.
Okay.
Teenage Vampire Motorcycle Club 2 is the second one. Is that what it's called? And then I have Teenage Vampire Motorcycle Club 3D, the third one, because I figured every 80s... you know, genre, if they get to 3, they're doing 3D.
That's it. So. And Dave's featured on that album.
Yeah, he did it. He did a track for that album, which was great. And it kind of fits into that. They all have a storyline, and that's a thing I'd like to do something with one day. I was talking to some of my friends who do, like, video work, and I'd really like to, I mean, if you're into doing something like this, I'd like to do a video for each track and release a VHS.
No. And we got to talk about it, man.
Dude,
you know me.
So I have a bunch of friends that, like, and I was thinking about giving an idea to each one of my friends that do, like, video work, and, like, we can work together and do something, you know?
Yeah, man. That sounds like a good future project to
and I would
iron out.
I really want to, you know, make like 25 VHSs of them and sell them, and it could be like a cool Halloween release. I think people would go for. You know?
Yeah, man. That is a cool idea. You know, it's. Especially with, you know, YouTube and things like that, and then people collecting, especially people love limited runs of things. They jump on that shit. That's probably a great idea.
I mean, at our level, the thing we could afford is limited runs. So,
all anyone can afford is 25 of something.
Yeah, that's it. You make like it's a special thing, but that's all you had the money for.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, man, limited to 25. Yeah, but in reality, you're like, damn, this 25 was like $1,500.
So
So Halloween.
Yeah,
you released 3 Halloween albums. Let's segue. Good place to segue into talking Halloween. What we're all here for. Now, with Louvers and why, you know, and I know this is again gonna lead to the main kind of conversation here. What is it about Halloween to you that's so special? And, like, you obviously love the holiday because you've released 3 Halloween themed albums. So it's important to you. But what is it about kind of the holiday that inspires you to want to record music and release full albums and also just, like, celebrate, you know, whole month? You know, at this point, we start celebrating, like, August, but all year round.
It's a season.
It's a season.
And
it's
I'm not mad
months.
At that. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think that Halloween.
Why is it important to you?
If nostalgia in general, especially for our generation's nostalgia, had a holiday, it would be Halloween.
Yeah.
And I think that because my thing is nostalgia and the exploration of it and what it means, and I have a lot of different friends I talk to often, younger friends that are into the 80s, 90s stuff now, and I love that. Older friends that are older than me and their experience with the same time period that I am, you know, have a soft spot for is different. Halloween was the day that it was sort of like, it was your day as a kid. All of your things that you were into, it was like, you know, it's a celebration of childhood more so than something like Christmas, where there was this necessity to get together with family. And it was more about family, and older family gets involved. Halloween is like, for our generation, probably still, I don't know, was focused on kids. So the Halloween stuff, the masks and the, I had out all year round as a kid, you know? And like the commercial aspect of it, where the everything seems saturated in it. For me, the epicenter of nostalgia is Halloween, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it. Because, you know, I always say, you know, Christmas, you mentioned family and stuff like that. And then obviously some people are religious, some people aren't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's always those like kind of religious undertones with that holiday. Yeah, it's the more serious.
We'll do a Christmas episode. I got a lot about that one too.
There you go. Ah. Christmas was always kind of, you know, a little more like everyone loves Christmas, where yeah. Halloween's the more rebellious holiday, because there are people that don't celebrate it.
Yeah,
you know, we all went to school with that one kid that didn't show up in costume.
That just makes it more attractive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, so,
you know, and it's a situation where you know, when you're young, it's the day where I feel like you're really the focus of the day. Where at Christmas and Thanksgiving, it's really like everyone's important.
Yeah,
when you're the kid, you're important. The candy, you're 10, you can eat all the candy you want. When you're 35, 36, 37, 40, it's probably not a good idea to eat all that candy.
No, so, even now, so, it's a bad month, you know?
Exactly.
For that.
But that's what I like the way you kind of broke down the way you feel, you know, what you feel about the holiday and kind of, and that's what I'm assuming drove you to kind of want to record these three albums, right?
And like my nostalgic memories, even in my other songs about, like I have songs about staying up late at night and watching tapes with my cousins and like looking out for aliens out the window. And the tapes we were watching were Nightmare on Elm Street. Because again, it goes to that, like, things you're not supposed to be doing. We'd be watching like Fire in the Sky, you know, like, you know, and eating candy. And it's sort of like if you had to put that in a day of the things that you enjoyed doing on your other time. But this day it was sanctioned. It's Halloween. So, you know, the nostalgia of Halloween, it's sort of like the celebration of the things that I just liked all year.
Yeah.
You know? No.
And it's funny how you kind of carry that over as an adult when you think about it. Like, you know, in my case, it's always I'm a horror guy, too. So it's like Halloween all the fucking time. And just what I watch, what I, you know, listen to, what I like, you know, outside of probably professional wrestling, everything else is pretty much in that realm, kind of offshoots of, you know, Halloween horror and nostalgia, spooky nostalgia specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not everything was horror related or Halloween related. They're just monsters, you know, and things, Godzilla and stuff like that. So, you know, it all kind of is under the same umbrella. So I do like how everyone, you know, there's like some people that the Halloween decorate, they love Halloween, but the Halloween decorations come out in September. Then there's people that the Halloween decorations are out all the time.
Yeah.
So it just depends on who you are as a
I'm
person.
I'm like a late September person.
Yeah.
You know, I like to do September. I like to ease into it. I definitely love the spooky season type of thing that is going on now. I think it's, you know, it's good. You know, if we're going to do Christmas in November, we're going to do Halloween in September type of thing, you know?
Honestly, dude, it's like Halloween in August then at this point.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm kind of like, but also, you know, that's where I'm kind of like, all right, let it be for a while.
Well, you like knowing you, I know you love your summer, retro summer.
Yeah, and there's so much retro stuff to enjoy in the summer. But you know what's funny? My tradition for the barrier between the summer and Halloween season is Lost Boys. And at the end of the summer, when summer is like officially over, early September, late August, we'll watch Lost Boys. And that's like, because that's a perfect mesh of like a beachy summer, but all now it's Halloween, you know?
Yeah, some spookiness thrown in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned kind of how Halloween memories inspired your music and the three albums.
Yeah.
Rattle off some like old Halloween memories, just some like some stuff that sticks out to you as a kid and you feel are just important memories from your childhood.
We did a lot of face makeup, and I don't know why when I was thinking of this, I keep thinking about like getting makeup in my eye, like my mom putting on like Dracula makeup, and it's always like in your eye and so uncomfortable. Or like those plastic masks that would like just poke parts of your face. But it was part of it, man. Just getting dressed up. I like that. Halloween memories. I love. And again, how much of this stuff is through like the nostalgic lens or how much of it is true. But I do think when we were kids, everything was decked out every holiday, but Halloween, Christmas, whatever it was, even like minor ones like St. Patrick's Day, I don't know.
Yeah.
you go to the store, decked out. Everything was on brand. You watch TV, every bumper, every commercial, every show, you know what I mean? Had to be Halloween. Everything had a little spider web on it. And it felt so like you were saturated in it. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my biggest like memories when I think back at that time. And that's why I love like certain movies get that right.
Yeah.
They're just like decked out, you know? So I like mm-hmm. that about Halloween memories. You know, I like going to Party City out here, you know, before I guess Spirit Halloween. And
Spirit Halloween. Listen, I love Spirit Halloween, but they're everywhere now during October.
Yeah. We used to go to Party City, and Party City was like the Halloween store, and buying just like little trinkets that you would just, as an adult, you just pass by in the store because it's like just shitty little things. But as a kid, those things were epic, like the little stupid things that go on your fingers and mm-hmm. the wax teeth. And like, you know, I would keep that stuff all year round. So.
You know what I always like miss about, and Spirit Halloween doesn't really do it. They don't really, so their rubber mask, latex mask area is very different. But what I miss about old Halloween shops like Party City back in the, and what's sad is they're kind of closing Party City's down.
I know,
now,
yeah.
Which is a massive bummer. But I always loved how the Halloween masks were out of reach. Like they were always up high on mannequin heads.
The good ones are. You remember those? Get them. Yeah, yeah.
They would keep them like up high, behind, like not behind, but like out of reach. And I remember going to this one. I think it might have been in like in Westchester somewhere. This was the 90s, and I remember always seeing them. And as a kid, for some reason, I'm sure you felt the same way. Whenever you'd go to a Party City, you just like look up at them and be infatuated with just kind of how different, like the
crazy predator mask. And then like down at the bottom, it's just like, you know, the one you'd have at your house, you know?
Exactly.
Which is funny.
What were you saying?
Which is funny because like one of the ones that like we just had like cliche, like random masks they would buy just because they were cheap. But one of those was the Scream mask way before it was the Scream mask. We just had those. That was one of those masks. That was just a crappy mask that your parents would get you or you would buy just because like it was $10 versus like the Predator mask or the Good Freddy mask, like $50 or something on the top shelf, you know?
Yeah, out of reach. But I don't even know. What's funny is I always wonder because I never, like as a kid, I never got those masks. I didn't start getting those masks until I was a teenager. And I always wonder, actually, no, my first one from that would be up high was like a Michael Myers mask. When looking back at it, that mask sucked. It was white. I think it's come up on the show before. But I remember that was like the first one I got when I was like 12, I think. And this was like the late 90s. And I just remember it always being out of reach. And they were like $30. And it's funny when you look at like Trick or Treat Studios, like the masks now are like $60, $70. So like, but $30 was a lot back in the day. Like if you think about it, like inflation and stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do remember just always finding it. I still get a kick out of it because there's even like a Party City, or there was. I think they changed the name because Party City went out of business. Not far from me because we're both New York guys. I don't think we said that. We're both from New York. Probably should have done this in person. That would have been fun.
Yeah. Next one.
You know, being from New York, there was a Party City like by me that still had the mask up out of reach.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I was shocked to see that. Like they had like literally the whole, because what do? They have like all the Halloween costumes like on these, like not on display, but like you pick the number like 59, a big M&M. And like, that's the one you tell the person, they get it from you. Above those things was all the rubber masks. Yeah. And they still had it like that.
It's
funny
because like I'll go to Spirit Halloween now and I'll be like, they're just going to leave those down
there?
Just
down
like there's a thing in my head that's like, you can't touch the good masks, you know? Yes. Like,
yeah, it's weird now, right? Like anyone, like they put signs like, do not wear a mask. Yo, you know how many times I walk into a Spirit Halloween and there's people a motherfucker like, wearing the mask?
Yeah,
I'm like, you have to spray that shit with Lysol before putting it on your face. So it's just very odd how they kind of changed that whole format. Yeah. The masks now are in reach. You can just grab them. And trust me, no little paper sign is going to keep anyone from trying them. I never try them on, but there's children
now
and
I'm
other
not,
people.
Now that you say that, yeah.
Now that someone sneezed inside of the leather face mask they have
it's
on
like
display.
The opposite of the COVID mask. Like,
oh, God. It's a germ factory.
Put your face
in there.
Right on somebody's face, you know?
They should put them back up. I'm shocked they didn't, like Spirit hasn't kind
That's
of.
That's great. We went from, like, isn't it crazy they had them up there to, like, they should put them back up.
No, because every time I go to a Spirit Halloween, some idiot is putting like trying the mask on just to take a selfie. They're not even gonna buy it.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds like I'm bitching right now.
No, it's good.
But like that's kind of what happens, and I'm like. And like the workers there, they're like some. It's like some 16-year-old that doesn't give a shit. Yeah. And I'm like, you guys should put it on.
Too many people are into it now. That's the problem. I love Instagram, but I blame Instagram that like now everybody likes the things I like. So
listen, I don't go that kind of like old man with it because I realize me and you are the same exact age. Yeah. I know we're not going to say what the age is, but we're the same age. I know that for a fact. And I am just like. The way I see it, it's just I like that it's a popular thing now. Everyone loves Halloween. I think it's awesome, you know. And we say that just because we're living in the now. In 20 years, when you know we're in our 50s, we're gonna feel differently probably, just because time has passed. You know, I always say time is kind to stuff, whether it's movies, nostalgia, Halloween, whatever, horror, anything. Time is always kind to it. So we say that now, and don't get me wrong, there are ridiculous things about, you know, the holiday and things that you're just kind of roll your eyes at that are lazy or like, again, popular for clicks or popular for TikTok, Instagram, things like that. But at the same time, listen, man, that's what the younger people are doing now. That's what they like. That's what they enjoy. So I can't kind of shit on it for that reason.
For our generation, kids that grew up in this commercially saturated environment, I think that when I was like in high school, it was kind of dead and I liked the things I like and it was kind of underground and like, but now the one thing I do appreciate it is that there's money in this stuff. So companies are making so much branded merch.
Yeah.
New that you go to Spirit Halloween and it's not like, you know, whatever is new and a bunch of old masks. It's like, they got a Freddy Krueger section. I got a Ghostbusters section.
Hocus Pocus
is half the store. And some of the stuff is cool, though. Like, I like Hocus Pocus all right, but some of the Hocus Pocus merch is actually like, all right, you know. So I like it because of the merch. I like it because of the merch, you know.
Yeah, and on the subject of just kind of costumes and stuff, are there any costumes from the past when you were a kid that like you loved? And you,
now here comes the cliche. I hate
that. Uh-oh.
You know,
what is it?
What do you think it is? Not even based on me, just what's the most popular costume that a kid wants to wear?
See, it depends. I know a lot of kids want to be Freddy Krueger. That's a big
one. So Freddy was one of them.
Okay.
I had a good Freddy costume, though.
What was it?
So I had the real glove, and this is wild because I bought this glove on eBay when I was like 14 years old, or whenever eBay came out.
Yeah.
And some dude was making them in his basement. Like Freddy Krueger. And then like as a young teenager, like there's no barrier. It was like $50 and they sent me a Freddy Krueger glove. Like, and I still have it.
That's amazing. Oh man.
I would wear that and you get the sweater. And I had one of those, they started selling it again, but it was like comes with the latex piece here. And you know, spirit gum it on and you blend it all in. I remember going to parties with that, and it was like that Mean Girl scene where you walk in and people are like, what? Why are you dressed like this? You know, and it's like, it's Halloween, and everybody else is like, you know, Duff Man or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
So whenever
I love that you bought a Freddy glove on eBay.
Dude. And that was when, like I said, now you could probably get a decent one in Party City or Spirit. But back then, there was nothing. It was like this nostalgia. I'm going to call it the nostalgia desert. In our high school years.
Yeah,
Because people were into new stuff. It was a celebration of like the modern, you know, TRL was out and nobody wanted old school stuff. I guess new stuff sucks now. So everybody's like 80s, or like we're of the age where we're nostalgic. So our generation are the creators now.
Yeah.
And I think that when we were kids in the 90s, the people who were kids in like the 50s and 60s, which was a commercially saturated era, that's when they were our age and they were like nostalgic for that commercially saturated era of like rock and roll and whatever it was. So they started to produce cool stuff, you know?
Not for sure. So the Freddy costume was one of them. Now, you had the legit, like, when you were 14, you had the legit sweater, or did you have, like, a knockoff version of it?
I had, so the sweater, again, it was a nostalgia desert. The sweater was hard to come by at that time. I did have a striped T-shirt. But the other costume was Dracula. Okay. You know, I know that that's a favorite of yours, right?
Yeah, well, me, we've all been, like, I've been that's the Dracula. A thing. Dave was a Dracula.
But
we
when
all
you're
been
a kid
Dracula.
In the 90s and everybody else is like, you know, whatever they bought from the store, and you got this. I used to get the green Crackle makeup.
Yeah,
remember the Crackle makeup?
Yeah.
I thought I was like, oh, I'm Drac, you know. So, and they're very similar characters. I think, like, Freddy is like the Dracula of the modern monsters. You know, Dracula is the Freddy of the Universal Monsters. It's the one guy that's cognizant. He's charismatic, and he's planning things, and he's cool. Whereas, like, Frankenstein and all of those other guys are kind of like Michael Myers and Jason. They're just, you know, automatons where they can't control it. Maybe they don't even want it. But Dracula and Freddy, they want it, you know, and there's something sinister and empowering about that as a little kid, you know.
Yeah, and you always feel good in your costume as a child. You're like, I don't look silly at all. But then, like, you look back at photos, you're like, I look like a silly.
Yeah, I look stupid.
Yeah, I look dumb. But it was amazing, dude.
One year, my mom dress me up as Mount Rushmore.
What?
For a costume contest.
How old were you?
I was young, man. I was the Teddy Roosevelt face, and she made this big thing out of fabric that I wore, and it was like 4 feet wide of all the other presents. It was stupid, but. It looked funny. I won like a most original or something in the school.
That's pretty cool that she actually like put your face and then created the other faces and just stuck them next to you. That's
amazing. I gotta get a picture of that.
Oh, dude, if you can get a picture of that and send it to me, that'd be amazing to see.
Yeah.
So as a kid and you grew up in New York too, like me, right?
Yeah.
You were both New Yorkers. What was trick-or-treating like for you? Like, just kind of overall, just any fun trick-or-treating memories or
it's
just
funny, like,
basic stuff?
As a kid, you know, I love walking around the neighborhood and, like, the creepy aspect of that's when you come up with the rumors about either the house that doesn't give candy or the one that's been boarded up because it's probably being sold, but it's always, like, the haunted house or whatever. Just the walking around and you would get to explore your environment. Or look at it in a way that you normally don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember middle school, like I trick or treated all the way up until I was 21 years old, man. And
still
at that point,
trick-or-treating.
It was kind of like at that point, it was kind of like a goof, but I did it. We did it into our 20s. And plus, I looked young. But anyway, but the one thing that kids don't, at least over here, do anymore is bombing.
Yeah, we talked
Dude,
about
kids
it.
Kids don't do this anymore. And
that's weird.
I didn't. I always would, because I just loved dressing in the costume. But at that point, it was like not cool like it is now. Everybody dresses up now. Back then, it wasn't cool, but I loved it. But back then, you would wear a, you know, big hoodie, and you'd modify the shaving cream to spray, and you'd go out with eggs and shaving cream and a pillowcase, and that was the cool kid thing to do, you know? And everybody, you know, the next day everything's covered in shaving cream and stuff like that. But kids don't do that anymore. Kids don't do it.
Like you were like me. You were a good kid. You didn't.
Yeah, I just enjoyed the Halloween stuff, and I wasn't. I guess you know those. It's funny. Those are the kids now. You see them on Instagram as adults, all dressed up, and it's like, get out of here, man.
You were throwing eggs at people.
Yeah, you were throwing eggs because you felt self-conscious, not because you wanted to throw eggs. You know.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny too because I every year I'm always like I'm gonna see an egg on the floor and it never comes, dude.
It's
weird. It's not a thing anymore. I think last year my wife and I were walking. You know, we always go to a bar or two, on Halloween,
thing.
And we meet up with people and stuff. And it's like, you don't see it anymore. Which you would think kids would be shitty now. To kids
I was
are
talking
still
to,
listen. Teenagers are still shitty, but they're
in
different
they
ways now.
No.
Yeah, so.
But now. Because I guess I blame Instagram, but it's fine. People are into nostalgia. People are into the dress up part of it and the getting into it. You know, like there's no more, oh, you dressing up. No, people, it's part of the thing because Halloween is so big. And I talked to some some kids recently, actually, that go to high school, and I was asking them that I know about this, and they didn't even know what bombing was.
Wow.
That's a thing that's not even in the, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, not a bomb. I'm talking about shaving cream. You know,
like, I'll be honest, too. Eggs are pretty expensive now, so I don't think.
You can't just be throwing eggs, no.
Yes, no. You're buying a carton, you're spending like $8 now, yeah. So you can't really go out there and buy like 15 cartons and like just drive around chucking them at people.
No.
That's breakfast for a couple of weeks for some people. So I wouldn't expect people to be dumping those and just kind of treating them like garbage. You know what I mean? Because in reality, they're pretty pricey.
Yeah.
What about haunted attractions? Did you go to them growing up?
Haunted attractions. You know, so I hate that I remember, but I missed Dracula's Castle. In Wildwood.
Yeah.
So I know for guys around our area, that's a big topic. And actually, I just bought from one of these retro accounts, Dracula's Castle t-shirt they did, like a limited run. They did like the original, you know what I'm talking about, right? In Wildwood.
Was that Razors in the Night?
They had like a boat ride.
Yeah. But did you buy it? Because Razors in the Night was on the show recently, and he has, I think, a Dracula's Castle
t-shirt. And he just did it, right? It's new.
He just released it. I think
I did the pre-order on that one.
Yeah, he was just on the show like a month or two ago.
I didn't even know who he was. I just saw somebody
he's a good
repost
dude. Friend
it,
of the show.
And I was like,
friend
I got to get that.
Might have been me. I'm always sharing his stuff. So
I know with Purple Stuff did a whole episode about that attraction.
Okay.
But I remember it, and I remember the allure of it because it's like, and it's a boat ride, and like we would talk about it. So that one was always in my head, but I never got to go on it before it burnt down or whatever. I think for attractions for me, you'd always have Seaside Heights, the little crappy ones, and Fright Fest, man. Fright Fest was like the one we went to most, I would say. And I remember one year they had Alice Cooper's Brutal Planet.
Alice Cooper's Brutal Planet, 10,000 volts of techno terror at Six Flags Fright Fest.
Oh, wow. And I missed that year. I didn't get to go to that one.
What I like about this is, honestly, I love Halloween. I love haunted houses. I hate jump scares. And I know this is like, I feel like it's cheap. Obviously, it's in the dark. I'm going to get scared if somebody jumps me. I like settings, you know, and Brutal Planet stuck out in my head because it was like this zombie apocalypse setting, but it wasn't like a jump scare. You're just walking through. It would be like walking through The Walking Dead. And it was like at night and all burnt out cars and zombies walking around. And it was just like a thing to see. And that I like a lot more. I kind of like things like that more than I just like creepy stuff more than I like being jump scared, I think, you know?
Yeah, that was probably what year was that? Do you remember?
Dude, it had to be like 2003 maybe or something like that, I'm
so
going to say.
So we're talking over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't remember Alice Cooper ever having like a scare. It's a scare zone. It sounds like it's a scare zone, not a haunted house.
And it was this collab with Six Flags Great Adventure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I did not know that he even had, because I've been to Fright Fest. Fright Fest has come up on the show several times.
Yeah.
But I went in like the late 90s, early 2000s a bunch, and I don't even remember Alice Cooper having any. I must have missed that year. That's
a
bummer. It
had to be 1 year. I'd love to grab a retro t-shirt from that event. That would be.
That'd be amazing, dude. That'd be amazing to just sort of like that. Well, that's what like Razors in the Night he does. He puts together these old kind of like haunted attractions, kind of in that style.
I gotta follow that account because I just saw it on like Big Cartel or something.
Yeah. He's the one that put together that shirt. So he does. We just had him on the show, like I said before, not that long ago. He's a good dude, friend of the show. So you bought his shirt, didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But that happens, you know, like Discount Cemetery. They got a few cool tees I want to get at. And that's the thing. I love the profile of it and that it's cool. And people of our generation are just like not like unself-consciously just into it now. And like horror is big and like, you know, that wasn't the thing. It's kind of like, I don't know, when you're a kid and like you're listening to your skateboarding and everybody thinks you're lame, and then like as soon as you give it up, all of a sudden it blows up and it's cool, and then you're like, what the hell?
Man,
I'll be the old man on the, you know, get off my lawn on this one, but you know.
Listen, man, Halloween's a great holiday, and I'll never kind of poo-poo on, you know, young people, because look at it this way, man, and this is a good way to kind of wrap
all
up
right. yeah.
our discussion here. They are creating their own memories.
Oh, yeah.
Like we did when we were in our teens, when we were kids, in our preteens, in our teens, and even in our early 20s or 20s, which wasn't that long ago for us.
Oh, no. Still young.
it was still young. they're creating their own memories, man. And, you know, I don't want to shit on it just because.
Oh, no.
In 20, 30 years, dude, there might be another podcaster or a YouTuber or a TikTok or whatever's big in big at that time in the future that's going to be creating content reminiscing about what they loved when they were a kid. And that's kind of why I'm never hard on the new stuff. I try to. Yeah, of course, it felt better to us back in the day, but that's personal. That's to us. It's
and
it,
I know
it felt
all that.
Better to us.
I got
to
say it, but I do, you know, I know all of that. I say it, but I do appreciate it. Like I said, the thing I appreciate the most is the merch, man. People are into it and things are selling, and you have people like these Instagram people making these shirts and, you know, Spirit Halloween and like really branded stuff, and you have both levels, and there's hasn't been a time period for such cool stuff to buy, nostalgic stuff before, you know, and it kind of gives people like us a little bit of more of a platform because people are into it and younger people are seeking what was it like this and that, or, you know, and you know, where we were there for it. So there aspect too, you know?
No. Yeah. And that's just kind of the way to, that's just the way to kind of look at it. I say, like, you know, put yourself in their shoes. You get,
no, I'm with it. I know I gotta go get out of here. But that, I know, I appreciate both sides of it, you know?
You have to, man. That's just, I know. That's just, gotta go with the times, man.
Yeah. Trying to talk, you're talking me off the ledge. I did want to point out one other thing.
Yes.
We both have a Pee Wee Herman doll over our shoulder.
There you go. That is amazing. We both do. I got a big guy back there. You've got the
same thing.
I've got the ventriloquist one. You've got the pull string.
Oh, no, this is the pull string. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the ventriloquist one. They were released around the same time. So
I'd like to get
that.
The Freddy one. The pull string.
I have him. He's right there. Man. He's in a box though. He's right there.
Oh, that's great. I gotta get that one.
Yeah, man. I have Ernest too and Beetlejuice, but they're over there. They're out of
the frame.
That'll
be my eBay, you know, late night eBay purchase, and then you know, you forget that you made type of thing.
Have a couple drinks, forget you bought.
That's
it.
I get VHS come to the house sometimes, and I'm like, oh no, I ordered this. You know?
Oh shit, that was the blackout purchase.
This is what'll happen. Like you'll come by, and we'll have a few drinks. We'll be hanging and talking about this, and I'll be like, oh yeah, let me get it, and then I'll order it while we're talking and hanging. And then like 2 weeks later, I have Freddy Krueger in the house. You know,
wouldn't have it any other way, man.
No, that's great.
So that was Halloween Memories 5. Johnny, thank you so much for joining me here. It was a blast.
Had a great time.
Definitely going to have you on again in the future for sure. This is going to be the first of many many appearances from you. You'll be popping up again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd love to do it.
We already have some ideas brewing for some future episodes. But where can people find you in Louvers?
So Instagram is really where I run everything through. On Instagram, you could find the link to Linktree with all my other stuff. But it's at Louvers Music on Instagram. If you want, you could search it up on Spotify and Bandcamp, Louvers. But you know, if you go to Instagram, it's kind of a one-stop shop. From there, we have some merch. I have another run of these Louvers koozies that are coming out pretty soon. I sell that kind of stuff through Bandcamp, but I have T-shirts on Redbubble. But again, at Louvers Music on Instagram, follow me for the retro content. And if you're into the music and the merch and stuff, it's on the link tree in the bio.
Definitely go support this dude. Good dude, talented. Hey. Gotta show. There it is. They're back. The glasses are back. And be sure to subscribe.
Oh, yeah.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Haunted Hangover. Head over to hauntedhangover.com to links for all Haunted Hangover goodness, including our Patreon page. which features bonus spooky content and early access to episodes. And as always, remember, the best cure for a hangover is...
more booze.
There it is. Catch you guys later. Wow!